Blog Talk Radio.
Done, children. Yeah, man. He that know the right and do it wrong shall be spanked with many stripes. When the heathen have come, your children step wise. Even though they make mention of them and those, fire them will never be friends.
Fire,
you know why? You know why? Yes, they have the heart of a pagan. Your children have the heart of a lion. I know people are moved with Satan. Righteous shod in the countenance of the Almighty One. Them have the heart of demons. The children have the heart of a lion. I know evil a move with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One. Poor people see hostility rising daily. Ignorant multiply brutality. We I see daddy run gone left mommy. We struggle the hard road with fight beginning. Our I see baby has been baby. Nothing that happen now do not seem to amaze way. We know that is the fulfillment of prophecy. Our I see them no build school is church and thing. Church, the penitentiary never empty. Still playing a mental trick on me. Listen, you check you and me check me. And let's bring more love in the black community. Them are the heart of a pagan. Your children are the heart of a lion. I know evil a move with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One. No. Them are the heart of demons. The children of the heart of a lion. I know evil a move with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One. Respect the father of the prophet Moses and Abraham. You have to respect the father of Jacob and Solomon. Respect the creator of many nations. He made the birds, he made the beasts, the fishes of the ocean. And fastened them together with his mighty. And he made the man, he made woman, children, the future of the land. So who is you to disrespect the creator, man? 72 nations bow down and crown him conquering one. It would be beautiful in the sight of God, the Holy One, to see the unification of my nation. Them have the heart of a pagan.
Watch that.
The children have the heart of a lion. I know evil a move with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty
every time.
Them have the heart of demons. The children have the heart of a lion. I know evil a move with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One. Poor people see hostility rising daily. Ignorant multiply brutality. We I see daddy run gone left mommy. To struggle the hard road with five beginning. Our I see baby has been baby. Nothing that happen no do not seem to amaze way. We know that is the fulfillment of prophecy. Our I see them no build school is church and penitentiary. Church, dead, the penitentiary never empty. Still playing a mental trick on me. Believe me, them have the heart of a pagan. The children have the heart of a lion. I know evil a move with Satan. Right of walk in the continent of the Almighty.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome back to Hebrew Culture. We've been on a hiatus for a little while, for a couple of months now. The holy days are over, and we're back at it. I'm your brother, Brother Ariel, here to talk about the Levitical priesthood tonight. Just want to open up with a quick prayer, giving all praises to the Most High, and thanks to His Son, Yahushua, for laying under His life for us. Abiyah, I ask that you bless this nation. Bless them tonight, Father, that you lead and guide me, Father, by your Spirit, Father. Father, because I have a heavy heart tonight, Father. I learned some news earlier about some other Hebrews, Father, and it makes us look bad, Father. But thy will be done, Father. And I'll explain that a little later, Father. I ask for all the listeners that are listening, Father, that your word lay on their minds, that they search out the scriptures, Father, and don't take my word for it, and search your word out, Father. For that's how you have taught us, Father. You have taught us to dig deep, Father, to not hold fast to anybody's word but yours, Father, to allow us, Father, to go in your word and teach your word, Father, that we may be vessels, Father, for you and for your nation, Father, Yisrael, Father. I thank thee, Father, for choosing me, for bringing me out the darkness, Father, and showing me thy light, Father, and continue to purge me, Father, as all of Yisrael, Father, continue to purge us of our sins, Father. Forgive us of our sins, knowingly and unknowingly, Father. Thank you again, once again, for allowing me to teach thy word. Shalom, family. I'm a little different tonight because I'm usually at my sister's house, but tonight I'm coming from my own house. So it's a little different for me. This is the first time that I don't have my, what I call my super duper producer over there, feel like Pinocchio without the strings. But I know y'all have. And we started about 2 months ago, Levitical priesthood. We wanted to ask the question, are we still under the Levitical priesthood, or are we under a new priesthood, which would be the Melchizedek priesthood? We want to go through the scriptures and have the scriptures break down. Which priesthood are we under? Are they one and the same? Are they different? These questions we must ask. What are the guidelines for the Levitical priesthood? What are the guidelines for the Melchizedek priesthood? Is there any guidelines for the Melchizedek priesthood? Because I met a brother one time early in the morning, and we was at a store, and he said, we're not under the Levitical priesthood no more. We're under Melchizedek priesthood. And the whole conversation came about how I was wearing my tzitzit. And y'all know in the Torah, it talks about the tzitzit on the four corners. You know, and he was saying that, no, they go around the bottom and forth. I'm like, no, that's the Torah says the four corners. You know, so I asked him a question because he's from one of those camps that be outside on the corners and with the bullhorn talking, and we got upset about that. If Yahweh gave you the spirit to go out there and talk to the world and to his people, by all means, go do that. But it's how you do it. And that's what I was talking about early in the prayer about some, let me finish this, that thought first. And I asked him, I said, do those brothers out there have on priestly garments on the street? And that's what the scripture says, that when we finish officiating, we should take off these priestly garments. And that's when he said, well, we're not under the Levitical priesthood no more. We're under the priesthood of Melchizedek. Okay, well, the priesthood of Melchizedek, what's the guideline for that? Because you calling yourself a priest, and you say you have on priestly garments, I have read nowhere, anywhere, it says that the Melchizedek order that you should have on priestly garments. But I do read in the Levitical priesthood that you should have on priestly garments. So that begs the question of, are they one and the same? Which one are we under? Which one we have to do? Without further hindrance or holding up, let's get right into it. And I wanted to open up with the open scripture from Romans 15:4. For whatever thing were written before were written for our learning, that through perseverance and through encouragement of the scripture, we might have hope. And I'm reading out of the scripture of WEVA scriptures. But I'm going to get back into the King James because I know most people don't have this translation. But I wanted to read it out of this translation because I like what it said, perseverance, and through encouragement of the scripture, we might have hope. That means we must endure some things, perseverance. We must go through some things. And while we're going through, we go back to what was written a full time so we can get encouragement through the scriptures that we will have hope. So when we go back and read how Yah has brought our forefathers out of this turmoil, out of that turmoil, so we can persevere. We can have encouragement. If Yah did it for them, he will do it for us. But it also starts at the top. Things were written aforetime. So we can go back into the quote-unquote Old Testament or the Scriptures. Because here we don't teach Old and New Testament. We teach that it's only one word from Bereshit to Revelation, or Genesis to Revelation. All one word. That's what it is. Even the quote-unquote lost books or the hidden books, because I won't say they lost, the hidden books that somebody took upon themselves to hide that knowledge from the world, to show more proof and to substantiate the word of Yah, because it's all one word. All one word. So we want to jump right into this. And let me skip over to the King James Version. And I'm going to go back to and give a little preview as we, review as we go on through, because I know it's been at least 3 months. At least 3 months since I did part one, and this is part two. So we're going to go back through some things to catch back up. And read Exodus 19. Starting at 5 and 6. And this is the thought. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. This is Abiyah to Moshe to tell his children what they will be to him if we hold fast to what he tells us, if we keep his commandments. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the sons of Israel. It's a thought that Abba has always had for this nation. A kingdom of priests. And we're going to go through some scripture tonight that talks how the Father poured aside the Levites for himself and say, y'all are chosen to me to be a priest. But was that the thought for the Father, for this nation? For what we are reading, is that the thought for the Father? Because if we're going to be a kingdom of priests, who we teach ourselves. Is all the sons of Israel going to be priests? Reuben, all the way down to Simeon. From the first to the last, every son going to be priests, a kingdom of priests. Because it ain't like one tribe the Father had in mind to be priests. He has the whole nation in mind to be priests. Why? Because Israel has a job. It has a duty. And duty to preach the word of Yah to the rest of the nations. Now, I have two groups come to mind immediately when I say that, who won't have a rebuttal to that. And that is the Jewish group who keep Judaism and the Hebrew Israelites. Those who call themselves Hebrew Israelites, who's out here with the bullhorns on the corners, teaching that Yah only sent his son, or the nation, he only chose the nation of Israel for himself. And the scripture do say that. But they exclude everyone else as if he had not chosen them. He had not called them to be a part of his holy nation. We're not going to go that route tonight. But we can truly find scriptures to say that it's not just for Israel. Israel has a purpose. Israel has a job to do. As the Mashiach said, he comes to be about his Father's business. Now, he was an example for all Israelites to be about the Father's business, to teach his word. First of all, he had to come and straighten back out his word for Israel because they got off track. But we're not going that route either. The route tonight is an holy people, a nation of priests. But we're going to go through these scriptures where Yah showed that he pulled a nation or one of the tribes to himself to teach. Or, for the script, as the scriptures say, to the priesthood office. And it's an office. The priests have duties. And another thing, I just love to talk about the word of God. And I'm going to talk as it comes to my mind, as I will put things in my mind. When did we stop being priests? And that's a question to all of my brothers and sisters who do not believe in the Messiah. When did we stop being priests? Because there's a group of us out here who say we've been around for over 100 years. And all that is true. I'm not knocking that. But I have a question for you. If the term rabbi came around in the new, quote-unquote, New Testament, and you don't find it nowhere in the Old Testament, when did rabbi supersede being a Kohanim or a priest? Because Yah said he had set up a priesthood from the Levitical priesthood to the Melchizedek priesthood. If Yah had set that up and you are an Israelite, how is it that you call yourself rabbi over calling yourself a priest? Because that's what Yah has set up. Now that question has to be answered for all those who do not believe in the New Testament. How are you holding on to that? But that's another question. Let's go to Exodus 28. Starting at verse 1. And take thou unto thee Aaron and thy brother and his sons with him from among the sons of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, for the glory and for booty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garment to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Again, the Father said, and his sons, again, we know the story, so they can be priests unto him, the Levitical priesthood. But let's continue on with this story. Let's move on to Numbers. Starting at 3, verse 9. Starting at verse 9, going through 13. And thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron and to his sons. They are wholly given unto him out of the sons of Israel. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait on the priest's office. And the stranger that come nigh shall be put to death. Did that stranger talking about just anybody outside of the nation of Israel? Well, it's talking about anybody any sons of Jacob that come nigh to that priestly thanks. He's talking about anybody at this time. And behold, I have taken the Levites from among the sons of Israel instead of all the firstborn that opened up the matrix among the children, among the sons of Israel. Therefore, the Levites shall be mine. Because all the firstborn are mine. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. Mine shall they be. I am Yahweh. Again, Yahweh has set aside a nation, a tribe for himself, out of the nation of Israel, to be priests unto him, Aaron and his sons. Let's go back to Exodus, because we're building. Exodus 40. We'll start at verse 13. And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, anoint him, and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt bring his sons, and clothe them with coats, and thou shalt anoint them as thou didst anoint their father, that they may be ministers unto me in the priest's office. For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Now, that scripture just read that their anointing shall be unto them throughout their generations. That means it's an everlasting priesthood. If somebody else comes to say that there's another priesthood besides the Levitical priesthood, there's a contradiction in the scriptures. Is it? Because the scriptures itself says that there is another priesthood. And we're going to get to that. We're going to allow the scriptures to explain these two priesthoods and where did they come from. And which priesthood are we under? Hallelujah. So let's move on to see where this new priesthood is coming from. I'm quite sure we know it. Psalms 110. Excuse me, family, for the little job cold I have. I don't know how I got that. I guess it's a changing of the weather. We're going to start at 4. We're going to just read 4. Yahweh has sworn and will not repent. Now, this is the psalm of our forefather David. Yahweh has sworn and will not repent that thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hold up now. Here's another priesthood that is mentioned in the scriptures from our forefather David that is forever. The Levitical priesthood was an everlasting priesthood. Now, this priesthood here, the Melchizedek priesthood, is a priesthood forever. Now, which priesthood is forever? The Levitical priesthood or the Melchizedek priesthood? I guess that's why people or my brothers out here who call themselves rabbi will jump on that and say, well, see, if we're not in the line of Levi, Asher, well, we can't call ourselves priests because we're not in that line of Levi. So now we're just master teachers, rabbis. Okay, well, the scripture also says Moray is teacher. Why that name ain't being used? Why rabbi? And where did that come from? But we're not going to talk about that tonight. We're talking about the Levitical priesthood and the Melchizedek priesthood. So let's read some more as we went through some scriptures that talks about the Levitical priesthood. Let's go through some scripture that talks about the Melchizedek priesthood. Let's move on. Where else? Because we need more than one witness. You know the scripture talks about having more than one witness. Let's go to Hebrews 7:21. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, Yahweh swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Again, here is another order of priests, the Melchizedek. Another everlasting priesthood to Genesis. Let's go see where this brother was first spoken of. Genesis 14, 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High Yah. Hold up now. Melchizedek, he's a priest of the Most High Yah. The Levitical priesthood is a priesthood of the Most High Yah. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abel of the Most High Yah, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High Yah, which had delivered thy enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. Now, we all know this story. Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, to this priest. Abraham did that. He paid tithes to this. So we have two priesthoods. And as I'm moving, I'm going to be reading. So the next scripture we're going to is Hebrews 7. We're going back to Hebrews 7 so we can see who is this is after the priesthood of Melchizedek. Give me a chance to get this. I'm moving. Oh, sorry about that, family. I'm just moving to rooms. Hebrews 7. We're going to read this whole chapter so we can see who's after the order of Melchizedek. We're going to allow the scriptures to prove who is after the order of Melchizedek. Also, are we under the order of Melchizedek or are we under the Levitical priesthood? So this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High Yah, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of Shalom, or king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. And I like how that is worded. Having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Yes, amen. Give me a second, Samuel. But made like unto the Son of Yah, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, that they are of the sons of Levi who received the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the Torah, or your Bibles may say law. That is, of their brethren, do they come out of the loins, so they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that he had the promise. Listen to what the scripture said. He is not counted as a Levitical priesthood. Abraham paid tithes to him. So remember what we started off with. A nation of kings and priests. There's something that Abba Yah is building. He is making. Seven, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here, men that died received tithes, for there he received them of whom it is witness that he liveth. And as I may say so, so saying, Levi also whom received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. So he's, you see what he's doing? He's making a distinction, a separation, that even Levi, who the tithes supposed to come to, paid tithes to Melchizedek. Why? Because he was in the loins of Abraham. So he's putting a thought in their mind. Well, what is this order of Melchizedek? What is this priesthood that even the priesthood of Levi paid tithes to the priesthood of Melchizedek? If their perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the Torah. And I'm going to read that because I hate to read when it's in parentheses like that. Because, that, you know, that's the translated edition. So I'm just going to read in verse 11, and I'm going to skip that part. If their perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, what further need was there that another priesthood should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? He asked the question. For the priesthood being changed, there is made a necessity, a change also of the Torah. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, or which no man gave attendance at the altar. Hold up. There was never talked about another tribe being a priestly tribe. There was only talk about one tribe being a priestly tribe. There was only one tribe at the altar. For it is evident our master sprang out of Yehuda. Now he's switching. Listen to the thought. Of which tribe Moshe spake nothing concerning priesthood. So he's asking. He's trying to get. See, when you get into Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews was very knowledgeable of the Torah, which we don't know who wrote Hebrews. You know, it says, it don't say who wrote Hebrews. Well, whoever wrote it was in the spirit of the Most High Yah, and the Most High Yah broke it down for us. So that's why he written this to the Hebrews, for
they would know things. They would understand what he's talking about. Why? Because the law, statutes, and judgments, the Torah was given to Hebrew Israelites. So let me read 14. For it is evident that our master sprang out of Yehuda, of which tribe Moshe speak nothing concerning priesthood. He's talking about, who is our master? He's talking about Yahusha. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest, whom is made not after the Torah of carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. And why would he say after the Torah, or after the law of a carnal commandment? Because that was a commandment that Yah gave to Moshe, that Levi would be a priesthood. So he's making the distinction. This priesthood didn't come by Moshe, or didn't, I'm not going to say the Father, but this priesthood was a priesthood that was from above. And when we finish, we're going to see that the Melchizedek priesthood was the priesthood from above. Let me read 16 again. Who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. And what person had an endless life? If Melchizedek was this person who had an endless life, who was Melchizedek? That he had no beginning, he had no ending. He had no beginning of days. Let's say that. And he had no end. Who is this Melchizedek? For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before, the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law is nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto Yah. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. Again, we read in parentheses, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, Yah swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And we just read that out of Psalms 110:4. So, but I'm going to pick back up from 20. I'm going to read 20, then I'm going to jump down to 22. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest, by so much was Yahushua made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continued ever, have an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to also to save them to the uttermost that come unto Yah by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. And what is he talking about? What did the priest do? Priests made daily sacrifices for the people. And he's making a sacrifice once for the people, but he also making sessions for the people. Talking about Yahushua. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sin and then for the people's. Understanding what the scripture is saying. He did not have sin. Those Levitical priests, before they could offer up a sacrifice for you, they had to offer up a sacrifice for themselves daily. He did not have to do that. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity. But the word of Yah, the word of the oath, which was sent, the law maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Understanding what that was saying. We're going to finish on. We're going to move on to 8. So 8 can break it down a little further. Now of the things which we have spoken is the Son. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majestic in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which Yah pitched and not man. Listen to what the scripture is saying, family. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which Yah pitched and not man. What is the scripture telling us about what Yahushua is doing? About his and why? Yet still, we are still under the guideline of the Levitical priesthood. The Torah says, we should wear tzitzit, we should wear tzitzit. Whatever the Torah says, we should do. But we're not under that Levitical priesthood in the sense of you have to come through Aaron's bloodline now. We'll finish. But that sanctuary that was not made by hands. Let's finish reading. Let's finish because the scripture is going to explain itself. I don't want to mess that up. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. For we serve unto whom serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of Yah when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shown thee in the mount. Hold up now, and let's understand what the scripture is saying. The Levitical priesthood was a pattern of something. Let's go back up to 2. A minister of the sanctuary. What sanctuary? The sanctuary that Levitical priesthood taught in, and of the true tabernacle was Yah pitched and not man. So there is a sanctuary in the kingdom. There is a tabernacle in the kingdom. And there is a priesthood in the kingdom that only the Levitical priesthood was a pattern after. Remember what we started out with, a nation. Exodus 19, 5 and 6, of holy nation, a kingdom of priests. It wasn't just Yahweh's will just for the Levitical priesthood to be the priest. Why? Because Israel is much more than just them 12 tribes coming together and teaching just one another. No, the duty, the job of the nation is to teach the world. So you don't have to come out of Aaron's bloodline. But you do have to come out of bloodline, which is Yahushua HaMashiach, which is that priest after the order of Melchizedek. And if you're after the order of Melchizedek, you have to come out of Yahushua's bloodline. Now, how you come out of Yahushua's bloodline is very simple. Very simple. Take hold of his Passover. Take hold of his covenant. Take hold of his law, statutes, and judgments. Let's finish with the scripture. Where I stop at? Father, Marie Father again. Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moshe was admonished of Yah when he was about to make the tabernacle. Listen, Moshe, when you make this tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou makest all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. So the Levitical priesthood is a pattern of something. Everything we do, everything that Moshe was commanded, is a pattern of something. The sacrificial system was a pattern of something. It was something that Yah was given to, had gave Moshe, so Moshe and the Israelites can learn from it. So when the real thing comes, the true and one and only sacrifice, and that's in the scriptures. That's in the scriptures. Matter of fact, we're going to read that tonight. So when Moshe was up on the mount for 40 days and 40 nights, he was shown a pattern of something. So that pattern had to come down and be physical. It had to have, it was a physical representation of the spiritual. But now have you obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promise. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should not a place have sought for a second? For finding fault with them, see, I like that. He found fault with them. With them. It wasn't nothing wrong with the covenant. It was something wrong with the people. Something the people did not have to keep that spiritual covenant, because God's word is spiritual. But he gave it to us in this base, in this fleshly form, so we can have something to hold on to, because if he gave it to us in the fullness,